in the Ad Council.
From Mud Ice Arena to Little Caesars Arena, we've got the sports opinions that matter to you. From the Driven Collision Studios, we make friends by accident. On The Game, 7:30 a.m.
The views and positions expressed in this program are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the views and positions of The Game 7:30 a.m. Some may find the content of this program controversial or offensive.
Time to play the game.
Put on your big boy pants and buckle up. This isn't a safe space for weak takes or whining. You can say that this sports radio show is offensive-minded. Call the show at 517-300-4263. Text or call us through The Game, 7:30 a.m. app. Message The Game, 7:30 a.m. on Facebook.
Guess who's back? Back again.
Beanie's back.
Tell a friend. Guess who's back? 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 Guess who's back?
Now, here's your host and professional hellraiser, Beanie Howell.
Welcome in. It's Offensive Minded with me, Beanie, here on Lansing's one and only sports radio station, The Game, 7:30 a.m. So glad to have you with us this Tuesday. 84 degrees and sunny on October 3rd. There won't be too many more of these. I hope you can get out there and enjoy it if you aren't already. Maybe polish off the last of your Oberon reserves that may be on tap for me tonight. Before we get started, let me take care of some housekeeping. Yesterday, I forgot to announce the winner of our drawing, who walked away with a pair of tickets to see Impractical Jokers, a live show at Soaring Eagle Casino on Friday, October 27th. And that was Nick and DeWitt. So congrats to him. If you're bummed you didn't win, don't worry. Here comes another opportunity today, and we'll do it every other day this week on this show. Here's how you get entered into today's random drawing for a pair of those tickets. Just participate in the discourse here through any of these ways. Phone line 517-300-4263. Email the show, beanie@wvfnam.com. Send us a Facebook message or comment. Search Facebook for The Game 7:30 a.m. to do that. Or use the free Game 7:30 a.m. app. Click chat in the main menu to send over a free text message to us. Everyone who does that today, and it doesn't matter what topic you're weighing in on, that will earn you an entry into a random drawing we'll conduct before we go off air today. And one of you walks away with a pair of tickets to see True TV's Impractical Jokers, a live show at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort in Mount Pleasant on Friday, October 27th, just a few weeks away. All right, cool. Now that I have the table set here, I want to say hi to Dr. J. How are you doing today? Let me make sure your mic is up. Go ahead.
I'm good. How are you?
Good as well. You usually don't join us on Tuesday, but I think the subject matter here is kind of necessitating your appearance because to let people behind the curtain here, Wizard of Oz moment. Obviously, we plan the show. I know that seems kind of novel in these parts, but we actually plan the show. We plan our show, so Dr. J knows the game plan here. But we're going to get into something that I think we could really use to have Dr. J's perspective on. And what might that be? Well, whoops. Hang on one second as I'm having computer issues here. Yeah, so what I wanted to do was get in on a topic we've talked a lot about, the Urban Meyer situation, which is overstating it because there really is no situation yet. The situation itself is relegated to the imaginations of some people in this fan base, which is totally fine and is something every fan base does when they have a vacancy at head coach. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. It seemed like MSU Twitter was trying to speak Urban Meyer's serious viability as a serious candidate for the Michigan State job into existence. It was a hot topic, the hot topic on MSU Twitter yesterday, and that has continued today. I would say it is the number one topic on MSU Twitter over the last 48 hours. And keep in mind, today is MSU basketball media day for a season that is supposed to have championship aspirations. And nobody wants to talk about it because everyone wants to talk about Urban Meyer. So to recap, you know, I went over this a little bit yesterday. Dr. J and I did, fans talking about this. It reached a whole new level last night. We have officially gotten to the stage of coaching search speculation where we're tracking flight data. Someone, really? You know, flight data is public information, right? Because the airwaves, but more relevant to what we're talking about, the airways belong to the American taxpayer. So all of this is publicly accessible information. You can go find it wherever you want. Well, anyway, someone yesterday figured out that there was a 10:21 a.m. departure from the Columbus airport this morning, Tuesday morning, headed to Lansing, the Capital Region International Airport. And, of course, everyone starts running wild with the theories that that's Urban Meyer, despite the fact that he doesn't live in Columbus anymore. Don't let that get in the way of a good feel-good conspiratorial narrative on Twitter. But I digress. The point is, that doesn't matter so much as I'm trying to illustrate where we are in this thing. Like, the job has only officially been vacant for, what, 4 days at this point, and we're already tracking flight data. And to further illustrate the incredibly quickly arriving critical mass we have already arrived at, Athletic Director Alan Haller issued a public letter yesterday to the community about the coaching search. Look, I'm sure this was something he planned on doing anyway, but I'm guessing the fervent nature of the Urban Meyer talk on MSU Twitter had something to do with this coming out yesterday. Again, on October 2nd. Let's keep in mind that coaches aren't hired until the end of the regular season, which is still at least 7 weeks away. But anyway, I don't want to read his whole letter. It's publicly available. Just Google it or go to MSUSpartans.com to see it. But here's the salient part. I'm going to read from his letter. Quote, "Regarding the search, we will thoroughly evaluate and do everything required to find the right individual to lead the Spartan football program. Throughout the process, I won't be able to provide many updates. I realize that our community has a tremendous passion for Spartan football and that there's a great desire for more information about this process. However, privacy is important to attract top caliber candidates, most of whom are involved in their own current seasons. I expect that you will hear a lot of names and rumors. I expect to speak with many individuals throughout this process. While some are candidates, others will be resources for me as I go about my due diligence to ensure the best hire for Michigan State." Okay, that's pretty blasé stuff, right? That's pretty boilerplate for any AD during a coaching search. Mm-hmm. But MSU Twitter even was able to, frankly, live up to the conspiratorial billing of Twitter with that statement. And here's like one person who tweeted about it. "Noticed how Haller says most candidates are current head coaches? Just most? That means that retired head coaches are candidates."
Come on.
Yeah, grasping at straws. But again, like, the point of this segment is not to dunk on State fans who are looking for anything as a positive distraction and a carrot dangling in front of them to help them get through this football season. I got no issue with that, as we talked about yesterday. Whatever it takes to help you get through the remaining seven brutal fall weekends of this team we have to deal with, I'm not going to fault you for it. I'm just setting up what I want to get to here. We've talked about this before. I think, what, a couple of weeks ago when this all started, it was a matter of days after the Tucker scandal went public, maybe just a few hours after he had been formally suspended without pay by MSU, before people started throwing names around as the next guy and Urban Meyer came up. Not surprising, right? He's available, first and foremost, as he's working for Fox right now, and he has three Crystal footballs. That's an attractive candidate. And he's obviously intimately familiar with the Big Ten in this part of the country and has had a ton of success recruiting in this area. Also, there's this. I don't know if this matters to you, but he hates Michigan and has had a ton of success against them. And he still strikes fear in their heart, which we will get to in a minute. Obviously, he's like a home run hire, or would be a home run hire, right? Now, we talked back then when it all started, and I'm going to get back into this. And I just want to remind you very briefly, not out of a place of, I don't know, dunking on people, and not because I'm someone who just likes to pee in others' cornflakes, but it's just not going to happen. If you want to play make-believe, because that's what it takes to help you get through this abject disaster of a football season, go right ahead. But I'm asking you, for your own sake and for the sake of those you might otherwise pollute the thinking of, to remember deep down that this will never happen here. Not because it shouldn't, and not because he wouldn't work here or anything like that, but because Michigan State does not have the institutional balls to hire Urban Meyer, especially right now. That's why. It's not because of his problematic past or his character concerns, which you're seeing volleyed about left and right in the Detroit media and by virtually every Michigan fan you may know. That's not why. That's not precluding this guy from being hired. You know how I know that? If his track record were that radioactive, his face wouldn't be plastered all over Fox's college football programming.
Right.
TV cancels people before anyone else. And Urban Meyer isn't canceled. In fact, he's thriving. He's making $7 million a year to talk about football for a few hours each week. He ain't canceled. His track record doesn't disqualify him from being a prominent name and voice in college football, and he could be a coach if he wanted to as well. That's not why he's not going to get the job here. I do want to get into why, though. There are a few reasons. Let me start in no particular order. One is money. I hear so many fans just of the Michigan State variety, assuming that because Ishbia and St. Andre came together to help make Mel Tucker's 10-year, $95 million extension happen, you automatically assume that they would move heaven and earth to make Urban Meyer the highest paid coach ever and land him in East Lansing. Where are you getting that info? Just because they did that 2 years ago doesn't mean they would sign up to do it again, and it certainly doesn't mean they would sign up to do even more. And that's the other thing you got to keep in mind here, guys. This would be incredibly expensive. If you think 10 years, $95 million was too much, Urban Meyer's going to start at $12 million, which was the low end of what he was reported to have been paid at his last football job by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Some estimated his incentives were up to $20 million per year there in his deal. You got to start at $12 million. That's where you start negotiations, just to get him to pick up the call, all right? From there, you're talking about probably a six-year, fully guaranteed deal, somewhere around $90 million. That's pretty expensive. But also keep in mind that Urban Meyer's not an idiot. you don't get to be one of the greatest to ever do it by being in a complete dummy. This guy knows if he does ever come back to college football, the game he'd be coming back to would be vastly different than the one he left in 2018. Keep in mind, 5 years ago, there was no transfer portal and there was no NIL. It's a big difference. And this guy's good. He wouldn't take a job without at least a few legally binding assurances, in this case from Michigan State, that he would have an NIL war chest that he thinks is at least suitable to contend. How much would that be? Well, his successor in Columbus is saying it starts at $13 million per year just for NIL. Factor that in. We're already at about $25 million per year. And we haven't even gotten into the assistant coaching pool or recruiting costs. Well, right now, Michigan State has the second highest assistant pool salary in the Big Ten. And it's the, I think, 10th highest in the nation. It's pretty good at about $7 million per year. That ain't going to be good enough for Urban Meyer. You're going to have to increase that. And then recruiting budget. Michigan State is nowhere near the top of the country in recruiting budget. Well, that's going to have to change. This guy is used to having every asset at his disposal when it comes to recruiting, including a private jet. To put that in perspective, last year Georgia led the country in recruiting budget, something like $5 or $6 million. Okay, so now we're over $30 million per year. That's a lot. That's a lot of money for anyone. And just because Matt Ishbia has more money than God and Steve St. Andre helped rescue Michigan State a few years ago and keep Tucker when everybody wanted him, allegedly, doesn't mean that would happen again. And also keep in mind, the fan base reveres these two billionaires as like the ultimate charitable benefactors who love Michigan State so much. They love their alma mater so much that they forked over tens of millions of dollars when they were called on 2 years ago to help keep the coach. That's not true. That's not true. Michigan State paid an overwhelming majority of Tucker's deal. That fact has somehow been lost in the ether. But here are the real numbers. Ishbia and St. Andre only combined to cover 24 of the $95 million in that deal. 24. So barely a quarter. To land Urban Meyer, Michigan State would not be able to front 75% of a potential six-year $90 million deal. They just don't have that kind of money. That means they'd have to ask for more. And just because these guys have 10 and 11 figure net worths does not mean that they'll just write blank checks to Michigan State. Because the fact of the matter is, they didn't become billionaires and they certainly won't stay billionaires by flippantly spending their money. There's an indirect relationship with how that works, at least in the first world. The richer someone gets, the more shrewd they are with their investments, because that's how they got rich. They're not dumb with money. You can't expect these guys to just hand over tens of millions of dollars, even for a guaranteed home run hire. They are not going to do that. That's just not how it works. It might seem like to you and me they would never miss that money, but these are guys with a ton of diversified business interests. Matt Ishbia is not just in the mortgage game or just in the Phoenix Suns game, or just into helping Michigan State here and there. That guy has a very complex and elaborate financial portfolio. There's a lot going on. And also, a huge myth among us average people who don't have like live-in chefs or people who drive us everywhere. You know, those of us who know how much a gallon of milk or a loaf of bread actually costs. We don't take into account these kinds of things. We don't take into account, and frankly, we can't understand the depths of the financial empires these guys have running. But there's not a ton of liquidity, guys. Just because a guy's reported in Forbes to have 10 zeros in his net worth does not mean he has anywhere near that amount just sitting in a checking account somewhere. That's not how it works. There's not just a vault of gold coins. Matt Ishbia and Steve St. Andre, Dan Gilbert, Tom Gores, any of these MSU billionaire benefactors, they aren't Scrooge McDuck. They don't have a vault underneath their mansion just full of gold coins that they go diving in. That's not how it works. It's complicated. It's tied up in investments. It's not real right now. It's not liquid. It doesn't work that way. Money's one big issue, one big object. And keep in mind, again, Urban Meyer's getting paid $7 million for a few hours of quote-unquote work per week right now for 3 or 4 months out of the year just to talk about football. This is a guy who has twice retired from reported stress-induced health problems, and he's 59 years old. To get him to give up the gravy train, to come back to the highest of high-stress jobs, 90-plus-hour work weeks with no vacation, no off-season, it's going to take more than the 12 or whatever he was making million at Jacksonville. It's expensive is what I'm getting at. And I don't know where people are getting off with this idea that Michigan State just has a bottomless bank account to tap into. It's not true. Another issue as to why they won't hire Urban Meyer is the unique challenges that this job presents. This guy did great things at Bowling Green in Utah and then redeemed Florida and outdid Steve Spurrier there, came to Ohio State and took them to a whole nother level of dominance. That doesn't mean it would automatically translate to Michigan State because, in case you didn't notice, the inherent advantages that both Florida and Ohio State enjoyed are not present in Michigan State. For one, MSU isn't even the preferred football program, let alone preferred school in its own state, let alone region. They don't have that going for them. There's also a bit of a neighborhood problem. Michigan State's got a serious adjacency issue because they're adjacent to four of the greatest programs in the history of this entire sport, all within striking distance. Michigan, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Penn State, all in your backyard, meaning you compete against them every single day. You never get a day off, whether it's on the field or recruiting or the arms race of facilities and fundraising. You are competing against them nonstop. Not everyone is cut out for that job. Nick Saban even wasn't. It takes a special person who is a dog, man, and wants that, who embraces the challenge, who loves the grind. I'm just not sure that a 60-year-old who's already had health issues at relative cakewalk jobs would want this. And that if he did, he would walk in and it would automatically work. I'm just not sure. Another issue, how about institutional uncertainty? Can you think of many big-time college football coaches, let alone one of the best ever, accepting a job where they don't know who their boss would be? Would you do that in your line of work, in the real world? Would you take a job if you knew that your boss's boss was about to change and that could sweep out your boss? Because that could mean you could get swept out. It's a political job, man. College football coaches, especially at big-time programs, have to be comfortable with the university leadership, specifically the president and the board, obviously the mega donors and the AD. Because they have to go to them for asks. They need their support. They have to win their hearts and minds to accomplish what they want, to get the kind of funding they deem necessary. Well, Michigan State is on its fifth president right now in 5 years, and number six is on the way. We don't even know who it's going to be. And that president might want his own AD or her own AD. And that means the guy mostly in charge of hiring here may not be in charge much long after the hire. You don't know. Urban Meyer wouldn't be comfortable with that. And then fourth, and this is the biggest reason, and you can read all these, I put them up at the game730am.com, but number four, and most importantly, I've distilled down to two incredibly salient and relevant terms about Michigan State and why it can't and won't hire Urban Meyer. Pathological dysfunction. The legacy of leadership at Michigan State in the modern era has been one of complete and utter ineptitude and infighting. Whether it's between coaches and administrators, or administrators in the board, or the board infighting among itself, Michigan State continually and habitually shoots itself in the foot. I see no sign to indicate that that would change anytime soon. In fact, any deviation from that, that would be the exception, not the rule. There's only been one time in my life. I'm 35 years old. I know there are a lot of you listening who are much older and probably feel the same way. There's only been a 7 to 10 year stretch in my life where every layer and every level of Michigan State was in lockstep pulling in the same direction when it came to football. From the president to the rest of administration to the board to the mega donors. All in lockstep, unison, and harmony. There was only one time, and that was the glory of the D'Antonio years. And what do you know? It just so happened to produce the greatest run this entire program has seen in four freaking generations. But the entire rest of the sample size has been just littered with incompetence and infighting. That's what it is. And look, by now you've probably heard, and this is what I wanted to get to. You've probably heard, whether in the media or from other fans talking at the water cooler at work, whatever, that Michigan State must hire a coach of impeccable character this time around. They have to, because of the backdrop of the Tucker demise and the still lingering wounds from the Larry Nassar scandal. And I am here to tell you that is absolute 100% BS. There is no evidentiary support behind that whatsoever. But that doesn't stop nearly every voice in the media and even a good chunk of this own fan base repeating that complete verisimilitude. I have heard that nonstop for the last 3 weeks, and there's simply nothing to support that. The idea that if Michigan State hires a coach who's got a checkered past, all of a sudden everything will come tumbling down. There is no proof to that. There's nothing to base that off of except a media narrative that's very carefully crafted and propagated throughout this state. I mean, when I sit back and look at it, Michigan State got murdered in the media, and rightfully so, over Larry Nassar over the course of multiple years. But guess what? Business has never been better in East Lansing. They have consistently met and then broken record enrollments multiple times since then. Drive through campus, they're building new buildings all the time, academic and housing complexes, because more and more people want to come here to go to school. Oh, and by the way, as if the Larry Nassar thing had anything to do with football, spoiler alert, it didn't. I'll just pretend that it did. The football building, the football program has never had more investment. They just built a new $80 million extension and renovation onto the existing facility. And there's more on the way. This idea that if Michigan State doesn't hire a Boy Scout, Eagle Scout, to be its next head coach, that if they don't do that, it will ruin everything and everything will implode, that is utter hyperbole. There is no evidence to support that whatsoever. But that hasn't stopped everyone from just going along with that. It's just not true. If Larry Nassar didn't economically cripple the viability of this school, no football coach hire will. It just won't. If it can withstand that and come out the other side making more money than ever before, I think it's a pretty safe thing when it comes to football hires. The problem, though, is that the people in charge at Michigan State care about that perception. I'm talking about the career opportunists on the board in specific. They're politicians first. They care what the media says and writes about them. The leaders on campus are so concerned about getting more negative media attention from the Detroit press that, well, frankly, is only going to give them negative media attention, that they let it influence the decisions they make. And look, the Detroit media here has already made plain its approach. The story is already written. The ink is already dry. All they got to do is fill in the name. They are going to blast this hire. It doesn't matter who it is. You've heard me make the joke before, but Michigan State could hire Jesus Christ. And the headlines in the Free Press would read, "This Jesus guy can coach, but his long hair and hippie lifestyle sends the wrong message to the Michigan State community." It doesn't matter what they do. Michigan State can play it 100% by the book like they did with the Tucker situation, get crucified in the media. Doesn't matter. And every single Detroit voice that buried them on Twitter as they were systematically proven wrong over the coming days, not one apologized or retracted the falsehoods they promoted on Twitter. It doesn't matter what Michigan State does. It's going to get dragged in the media. Why then do the people in charge care? Am I crazy? Because the way I would approach it is, I would say to hell with all of that. To hell with appearances and optics. I'm going to go hire the guy that I feel most confident could win me something big in college football, and that would be Urban Meyer. But you can't. You can't, because he didn't fire an assistant on his staff fast enough when he was accused of domestic violence. You can't hire him. You can't hire him. He let a girl half his age grind on his crotch at a bar for a few minutes, and it got on Twitter. You can't do that. Some of his players went on to commit murder. You can't do that. You can't bring him to Michigan State. How is any of that relevant to this hire? What does that have anything to do with it? I keep hearing about the character concerns. And this is what I want Dr. J to jump in on. Because I saw a lot of women, a lot of MSU alumna, that's the wrong word, alumni, but you know what I mean. On Twitter saying that it does indeed matter. And I'm not trying to discount that, because frankly, I don't know a damn thing about what it's like to be a woman. I can see what's going on in the world, and I'm sure it's not easy making, what, 70 cents on the dollar and all the other stuff you have to face. I get that. And a lot of times, as we've seen here recently, when someone comes forward with allegations against a man, they are dragged through the mud and called liars and, you know, gold diggers and the like. But I've seen a lot of women, Michigan State affiliated women, on Twitter over the last 48 hours saying they can't hire Urban Meyer because they have to pay attention to character this time around. And Dr. J, I need your help on this.
Okay.
Because you're a zillennial woman.
Yes, I am.
I need to know what it matters. If Michigan State hires Urban Meyer, what the hell does that have to do with the university's track record or what it's going to do going forward as it pertains to its issues with problems with against women? Like, what does one have to do with the other?
The answer is it doesn't matter. I personally think that there are bigger issues to focus on. If you really want it to matter, hire a female coach. That's,
right.
That's the only hire that would make a difference.
Yeah, if it was really about that, about doing right by women, yeah, go hire a woman to be the next head coach.
Hire a woman. Or, you know, shore up your reporting processes for, you know, sexual harassment, which they've tried to do. There are other bigger concerns for women in the world right now. The head coaching job at Michigan State is not one of them.
Yeah, and I just don't know who they hire in the football program to run the football program, how that changes Michigan State's overall handling of issues with women. I don't see what one has to do with the other, unless, of course, this is all just a gigantic media-driven purity test.
Yeah.
That's what it really is.
It just doesn't matter. It really doesn't. I mean, the argument could be that hiring somebody who has this checkered past or track record is a slap in the face to women because you obviously don't care about your issues if you're going to hire them. But I don't see the connection there. It doesn't make sense to me. You're hiring somebody because they can do the job. That's
yeah,
it.
I just
that should be the consideration, as long as they're not like a convicted felon or something, you know?
Yeah. You know, I talk about it all the time. It's a huge pet peeve of mine in sports, but really in society in general. We all pretend to care about morality. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying some people don't. But brands and big corporations and big institutions spend a lot of money and invest a lot of resources and time in making sure you know that they pretend to care about those kinds of things. And I just don't know why. I'm sure they have good reasons because they spend a lot of money on it. But it just
doesn't. If they actually cared, they would put that money towards the causes that they're purporting to support.
That's exactly right.
Branding.
That's exactly right. What sends a bigger message that Michigan State is serious about making sure the kind of things that happened to women on campus in the past never happen again? Would it be not hiring Urban Meyer, taking a stand there? Or would it be, oh, I don't know, maybe funding programs and outreach and support groups for that kind of thing? Would it be changing policies and procedures on campus when it comes to reporting that kind of stuff?
Right, which they have done. I know that after the Nassar stuff, they really made a concerted effort to try and improve the processes. I don't know if it has been effective, but I know that they tried.
The truth is, Dr. J, in our instant gratification, attention span shorter than that of a goldfish now, scientifically, society, is what matters more to people is the low-hanging fruit.
Right.
They don't want to hear about all the policy and procedural and bureaucratic changes Michigan State has pushed through ordinance and with the structure of the university in response to this kind of stuff. No, they would rather just distill it down into 140 characters with someone bitching about Urban Meyer on Twitter. That's easier. And that makes them feel something more because we're so freaking stupid because we're living in Mike Judge's Idiocracy. And if you haven't seen that movie, go check it out, because that's where we are. Welcome to Costco. I love you. That's where we live now. We might as well have recliners with commodes built into the seat, just like an Idiocracy. That's where we are. That's where we are. Can you believe we are conducting purity tests for one of the world's biggest public institutions? And we're doing it based on who they're talking to or not talking to in a coaching search that hasn't even really started yet.
Right. It's nonsense. And if they actually wanted to do something for women's issues, right, they could do a study and make sure that they're paying their employees fairly. Make sure that they're paying like the women the same as the men and equitably. Do something like that, or make sure that you're promoting women fairly, you know, it's something that's actually productive rather than talking.
Yeah, look, it's all a very thinly veiled, frankly transparent exercise going on here. And let me explain. I've talked about this before. But there has been, I don't want to call it a PSYOP, because a PSYOP implies there's some secrecy involved. But there's been a pretty obvious undertaking in this state for the better part of the last half century, maybe longer, and it's started pretty much by one man, Don Canham, and has continued through to generations. Michigan wants to make sure Michigan State stays little brother. And by the way, that existed long before Don Canham. That's why at every stage of Michigan State's institutional development, U of M was there to oppose it. Whether we're talking about getting the funding in the first place to start MAC, U of M fought that and wanted to take the money and funding to create its own ag school within its U of M umbrella. We all know the history of Michigan State's football program and getting into the Big Ten. I don't want to go through that again. You get the point. At every major crossroads in Michigan State's development, U of M has stood firmly in opposition and has invested a ton of resources in fighting it. because they stand to benefit from that. The same thing is happening here, and it has been going on for a very long time. And the best proof I can give you of it as it pertains to sports is when this all started and we started talking about who maybe will replace Mel Tucker, I started getting calls from Michigan State fans talking about guys who have been trapped in the MAC for 10 years. I've had people calling in saying, hey, well, what about Pat Shurmur? You know, the failed guy in the NFL who hasn't had anything to do with college in 30 freaking years. What about Dan Enos? You know, he couldn't cut it at Central. We should give him a shot here at a top 20 job in America. And I'm not piling on Joe and Lansing. God bless you, Joe. It's not about you. I've heard it from plenty of other people, too. Michigan State fans honestly saying we should look at Tony Anise at Ferris State. A guy who hasn't even coached at the FCS level, let alone a Group of Five school, let alone the Power Five. There's your evidence right there. You, as a Michigan State fan, have been conditioned to think less of your school. The Detroit media wants you to think of Michigan State as some backwoods yokel alternative to the real Big Ten school in this state. They want you to think of Michigan State on the same level as a MAC school, a directional school. Forget the fact that, well, basically every meaningful empirical metric shows that Michigan State, its football program and its football coaching job, is one of the 20 best in this entire sport in virtually every measurable way. Revenue, attendance, TV ratings, accomplishments on the field, whatever, you name it, Michigan State's top 20. And yet half of the fan base, at least, that I talk to seems to think we're just a notch above Eastern and that we should probably interview their coach. There is a very manufactured, deliberate, and transparent effort going on at multiple levels here to make sure Michigan State stays little brother. And the most important factor to it all is making sure the people at Michigan State consider themselves little brother. And that's why crap like this happens. And when I say that the people in charge of Michigan State shouldn't give a damn about what the media says, should say to hell with the PR and the optics, I say that because the determination and how they're going to be portrayed in the media, regardless of who they hire, has already been decided. And the Detroit media has already airmailed that. You want proof? Let me give it to you. Go back to the day Tucker was officially suspended. And we had multiple members of the Detroit media going scorched earth on Michigan State, opening their mouths on stuff they had no clue about, talking right out of their rear ends. Basically conducting a summary public execution of every leader at Michigan State, even though they had no clue how a Title IX investigative process works. But they were sure as soon as Tucker was suspended, Michigan State had screwed up and was involved in another Watergate. Well, the facts have been a little troublesome to that narrative, but that hasn't stopped them. None of them have retracted that. And if you don't believe there's a blue wall, here's another example. There's a real problematic story starting to trickle out of the Detroit media today. Something that happened over a month ago. Did you know a U of M hockey player was kicked off the team several weeks ago because he got popped on candid camera spray painting penises and swastikas on the U of M Jewish Center? It happened in August. It is just now hitting the paper. Let me ask you, if MSU had a hockey player that went and did, I don't know if we have, yeah, we do, Hillel, right, just north of campus there, in just north of downtown East Lansing. Do you think if we had a Michigan State athlete that went and did that, that spray painted swastikas on our campus Jewish center. Do you think the Detroit media would wait 6 weeks to publicize that? Also, by the way, they've kicked him off the team. How many headlines are there in the Detroit papers today, right now, that are saying, how come he's only kicked off the team and not expelled from the school? I'll tell you how many stories. I'll tell you how many reporters in the Detroit media are asking that question right now.
0.0.
If that kid wore green and white and that happened here, he'd be hung in effigy by both of those papers. There would be news crews camped out in front of Munn Ice Arena 24/7 to try to yellow journalism Adam Nightingale. And they'd be emailing the board members and printing the email responses like they did with some of the board members they emailed in the wake of the Tucker thing a few weeks ago. Now, you think about that. You consider that and you tell me. You tell me whether Michigan State seriously needs to consider the coverage that'll get out of that media for hiring Urban Meyer. You tell me with a straight face that that matters. Because the fact is, it doesn't matter who they hire. They are going to get dragged in the local media. That will never freaking change. U of M has now had, within a calendar year, two student athletes, one of them on the football team, engaged in pretty public acts of anti-Semitism. One of them didn't even have to apologize. He just tweeted out, oh, that was a glitch. And then Harbaugh said, he's a good kid. We'll take a field trip to the local Holocaust Museum in a few weeks. Got off scot clean. The hockey player, he's kicked off the team, but we don't know about it until 6 weeks later. And exactly no Detroit media members are asking U of M why he hasn't been kicked out of the school over that. And you mean to tell me, there are people out there in this fan base that tell me Michigan State needs to be worried about character concerns with Urban Meyer. Are you freaking kidding me? I guess, maybe I'm some dastardly villain, and you tell me, Dr. J, but my response here is, maybe I'm a lesser person, but I don't believe in adhering to rules that my competition isn't playing by. Why should I be held to a standard that they're not?
Yeah, that's not fair.
I don't give a damn. I just don't care. And the truth of it is, none of this matters anyway. It's total BS. This is a transparent media purity test meant to denigrate Michigan State no matter what they do. So I'll put it to you that way. And my God, I've talked for an hour straight. This is going to be hell to get these spots right. But it was worth it because someone needed to say this. Why do you care about character for the next head football coach at Michigan State? Ask yourself seriously. And if your brain even begins to wander to the thought of, well, think about how it'll be portrayed in the media, do yourself a favor and get a lobotomy. Because that ain't a level playing field, and it never will be. We can start with that. 517-342-63. Beanie at WVFNAM.com. Search Facebook for The Game 730 AM. Message us or send a comment there. Or use the free Game 730 AM app. Click chat in the main menu. Back after this.
Get your Detroit Lions pregame fix all season with nachos and kneecaps. The Lansing area's very own local Detroit Lions tailgate show. Presented by Momentum Health Center in Mason and Miller Lite. Join yours truly, Beanie from Offensive Minded on The Game 730 AM and Brock Palmbush every week about 2 hours before kickoff. We cover all the Lions angles, player availability, matchups, outrageous Dan Campbell in-game decisions and audio, local ski mask tales, and everything else. Nachos and kneecaps, a Detroit Lions tailgate show on Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ and The Game 730 AM.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Hey, did you know Vistaprint prints everything a small business needs? Like if a barbershop needs signage, we print outdoor signs, posters, and banners. Or if a ballet school needs merch, we print tote bags, t-shirts, hoodies, hats. Or if a coffee shop needs a total refresh, Vistaprint designs logos and prints it on menus, mugs, paper bags, anything. Because with Vistaprint, the printabilities are endless. Print it all with 25% off for new customers with code NEW25 at Vistaprint.com.
Join McLaren Greater Lansing Foundation for the third Cocktails for a Cause, Thursday, October 26th, this year at Lansing Shuffle. This cocktail contest is a 21 and up event and will feature bartenders from local Greater Lansing establishments creating delicious cocktail concoctions. Try samples and vote for your favorite for a chance to win prizes. Tickets are $75 each. Don't miss out on this opportunity to have fun and do good by supporting world-class healthcare at McLaren Greater Lansing. Visit McLaren.org for more info.
Enjoy the taste of a place like no other. The Tipsy Cow Bar and Grill in Elsie. Utterly unique menu items like the cow tipper and rodeo burgers, wraps, gizzards basket, or the local favorite potato dippers. Daily food and drink specials and a spacious patio to hang out with friends on Sunday fun day while cooling off with $1.50 ice cold domestics or $2.50 premiums. Catch the barnyard breakfast every Saturday and Sunday morning. Tipsy Cow Bar and Grill in Elsie. A place like no other.
Could you imagine the MLB pitch clock rule for the game 7:30 a.m.?
I mean, we would have to talk faster in order to...
You're out!
And we're back. Offensive-minded. I'm Beanie. This is the game 7:30 a.m. Super long first segment. Apologize, but that was the only way to do it. So open it up to you. Look, I just don't get why there's so many character concerns being made about the next coach. This is all a really fake undertaking being propagated by the media. It's a stupid purity test that's designed to be failed. And let's be real. What does Michigan State's stance on women's issues have to do with a freaking football game? And why do we care about the optics when you're not going to get a fair shake in the media anyways? Should it matter? Does it matter to you? You can weigh in on that. Let's go back to the phone line, 517-300-4263. Rashid in Detroit. What's up, man?
Bro, it's Super Rashide. What's up?
Oh, Super Rashide. I'll work on that. What you got for us, man? I apologize.
C. Like
Super Rashide. Got it.
C day, yeah. How you doing today?
I've had better days. How about you?
Hey, I'm feeling pretty good, just like the weather.
That's true.
Better yet, I'm feeling super. But anyway, this is the super perspective, and I am one of the main voices in the inner city. And I'm going to give it to you just like how it's supposed to be, straight up, no chaser. Here's the key thing, starting with Wayne, Michigan State. One of the key things that could help them, we're going to start off with this. Magic Johnson is going to have to come back in a major way to help Michigan State out all across the board. That's one thing that could help y'all. Instantaneously, you need the star power, super duper star power. Will he do that? If you guys give him a blank check and say, hey, go crazy with it, he might, you know what I'm saying? But other than that, now let's get to Mel Tucker. Again, here's the key thing. MSU, if you're listening, do the right, bring the guy back. Again, you've just made my sentiment as well, brother. You made my sentiment again and again and again. Who gives a flying freaking you-know-what the media thinks if they bring back Mel Tucker? And to say this as well, what 18-year-old, 19-year-old, 21-year-old, and 20-year-old is going to give a rat's you-know-what about if their coach did this or did that far sexually? Because they're thinking about, more than likely, they're thinking about sex every hour on the hour anyway. So it's not like
probably.
They would really, it's not like they would really care. So I'm not necessarily saying that to you. I'm saying it to the other people that would try to push back if Mel Tucker came back. What is there to push back? You know what I'm saying? It's a scandal that can die down within the year, and you'll have the right guy back again, because obviously if the kids aren't responding properly right now, it's some type of mental problem going. Well, of course, this is backlash because of what's going on with their coach, so they're not going to – something is not going to be clicking right. Of course, he knows how to orchestrate everything properly, so they're probably going to suffer for the next couple of years greatly. Now, if they don't want to bring him back, I hope he succeeds and sues the crap out of him, gets at least half of his money, goes to another program, and kicks MSU butt every time he sees him. Now, if that has to happen, I say bring back – I'm with you. Bring in Urban Meyer. Why not? If all else fails with Mel Tucker – and again, I am for Mel Tucker – making a comeback, I don't see why not, because it'd be a great story, I guess, right? If he came back within the year, scandal. If anything, it'd be controversial. Some of the kids might love that. Like, hey, I want to go to that school because it's controversial. But that's neither here nor there. What's his name? Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
If they don't bring back Mel Tucker, which they can still do this, it's not impossible. So for people to say, they can't bring them back. Yeah, you can. If they make things right with each other. Other than that, okay, Urban Meyer sounds like a great, 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 great fit. Why not give them a blank check? MSU needs star power. They have to have star power. And one more thing that can help MSU out is this. Tom Brady. Now watch this formula. I'm serious. Tom Brady can be the ambassador for all of Michigan football. Now, this is what's going to happen. If he goes to U of M first and say, look, you know what? I will recruit 5 stars for you guys at U of M. Give me a blank check. Then he can go to any other college all over the state and say, I will recruit 5 stars for you guys as well. It's us against the world. Tom Brady, we have to use our assets, what came from Michigan, Magic Johnson, Tom Brady, Barry Sanders. We have to use every advantage. And Tom Brady can help MSU as well. And here's the key thing. MSU and U of M are not the only two colleges in Michigan. So cut it out, y'all. Stop acting like you two are the only two colleges in Michigan. You're not. There's plenty of other colleges in Michigan that need help, that need recruits, that need 5 stars as well. Tom Brady can work for all of them. Just give them a blank check. And then it's showtime for all, you know, for Michigan as a state as a whole.
Well, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I got to leave it there because I'm so behind the sticks on the clocks, but I appreciate the call. I don't know which one is the crazier, more outlandish idea. Bringing Mel Tucker back or Tom Brady being a recruiter for Michigan State. I don't know. But, you know, to your point on Tom Brady, he has had an icier relationship with Michigan since he left there. And I think it's no secret why. The fans did not treat him particularly well when he played there. Remember, they all wanted Drew Hinton. So I think he remembers that. But he has come back. Harbaugh has sort of smoothed it over a little bit with him. I agree with you, though. Like, Michigan State really could use Magic Johnson, man. And I know he's as busy as hell because he's borderline a billionaire too, and he has a ton of diversified interests, including now he's a co-owner of the Washington Commanders in the NFL as well as the LA Dodgers, and he's got a lot going on and a business empire too. That would be awesome to get him involved. That could only help because he's one of the most, like you said, recognizable faces, smiles, names that transcend sports. I wish. He's pretty visible with basketball, but they don't use him outside of that. Maybe he doesn't want to. I don't know. They should. I'm with you, man. That's the kind of different approach we need at times here at Michigan State. You got to do things different because you don't have the same advantages or resources. Got to take a break. It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is the game, 7:30 a.m.
Finding great from Spartan Stadium to Ford Field. We've got the sports opinions that matter to you. From the Driven Collision Studios, we make friends by accident. On the game, 7:30 a.m.
All right, we're back. Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is the game, 7:30 a.m. I want to get to some of your comments now, the digital ones we've gotten on this You know, I'm kind of using the Urban Meyer talk, which I don't think is realistic because I don't think Michigan State has the courage of its convictions to call the media's bluff here and basically call out this BS purity test for exactly what it is. That's what it would take to hire Urban Meyer. I don't think our people at the top have what it takes to do that. But I'm asking you, how much should character matter when hiring Michigan State's next football coach? Here are a few comments on our Facebook page. You can always comment on our Facebook page or message us there. Search Facebook for the game, 7:30 a.m. to do that. Steve writes, it's not about character, it's about compliance. The new coach can be ruthless so long as he or she understands ethical compliance guidelines. Hear that, Dr. J? He's taking your advice into account here. He's taking that under advisement. Dr. J says, if Michigan State is serious about, making right its past missteps as it pertains to women, that it wouldn't be preaching the optics of character in its coaching search. It would hire a woman. Greg says, character should matter zero. None of us are in the room where the decision is being made. Jerry says character matters none. No one has ever said to a coach with a losing record, well, he's got good character, let's keep him. I think Jeremy, I think Mark D'Antonio said that to virtually all of his assistants the last, 5 years? one more comment. This is from Floyd. Floyd says, Urban Meyer probably will be the next coach. That's why you're asking this question. All right, hang on one quick second. I'm going to visit Floyd's Facebook profile just to confirm. And what do you know? Floyd's Facebook cover image is U of M football. Go Blue. Club supports you. Gotcha. Okay, so let me read that again. Floyd, an obvious Walmart Wolverine, says, quote, Urban Meyer probably will be the next coach. That's why you're asking this question. Okay, Floyd, a Walmart Wolverine, is calling Urban Meyer Urban Meyer, while Floyd's favorite team, which he has no corporeal connection to, only through Walmart, is head coached by a guy who is currently under NCAA investigation for lying. And that is the Michigan difference. I got a couple more comments here about the Urban Meyer thing. Let me read those. Andrew says, it's a pretty clear effort by U of M media to paint this as a lesser job. I don't think we hire Urban because the MSU Board of Trustees is the absolute worst. At least someone with media credentials actually had the you-know-whats to call out the blue wall. Okay, appreciate it, Andrew. I just calling them like I see them. Ryan says, Detroit media and the blue wall can push the narrative, but Meyer has personally watched MSU win and at times dominate and sit atop the Big Ten. I am not expecting that he'll take the job, but it's not because he doesn't believe MSU can win at the highest level. Okay, well, why is it then, Ryan? I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just wondering why you think he wouldn't take the job if offered then, since you said it's not because of that. Let me know. In my article that I put up at thegame730am.com, which you can also get in the free Game 730am app or by visiting us on Facebook, I pointed out that a lot of the legs that have driven the Urban Meyer thing are coming from two Twitter profiles that purport to be CBS sports correspondents, and neither one of them actually are. This is a lot of fake news. I just wanted to point that out because Brian says, good job pointing out these rumors were started by two fake CBS sports correspondents on Twitter. Yeah, I think that's important, too. There's this public service announcement to any Michigan State fan, or even if you're not, you're just interested in State's next hire here. Public service announcement. Anyone reporting anything about who State's interviewing or interested in or who has interest in the Michigan State job, where there's mutual interest, that is all 100% completely made up out of thin air. And the reason I can say that definitively is based on the timeline. There is no way there is any kind of actual official conversation taking place. Not yet. Not yet. Think about it. What coach right now at a current school who's in the middle of a season would be having that conversation in, week 5, week 6? It just doesn't happen. Jay says, Michigan State doesn't want to be a winner. Urban Meyer's troubled past was all before NIL. Gerard says, Urban Meyer flamed out in Jacksonville. He's too old. He's too old school for the new NIL college football days, and he would not be around long enough to build something. Not disputing that he was a great coach, but he's not our guy at this point in time. Yeah, that may be too. I think we need to pay attention to that. It's not exactly the same college football he dominated when he left 5 years ago. A lot has changed. I don't think that would mean he all of a sudden wouldn't know how to coach, but I do think it would be more difficult to get players than he's used to by virtue of Michigan State doesn't get players, doesn't self-recruit the way Ohio State or Florida do, plus there's more competition. The NIL part, too. Josh says, what a joke this is, like most of Beanie's stuff. He starts by saying MSU is a top 20 program and we should act like it, but then he proceeds to list reasons that suggest the exact opposite, disguised as reasons why we can't get Urban Meyer. Nothing like internally inconsistent arguments. Honestly, that comment doesn't upset me. I could see why you would think that, but let me make clear. It's two different things, is what I'm trying to get across. Let me be abundantly unequivocal. If somehow this entire decision fell to me and money or anything else was of no consequence, I would hire Urban Meyer as the next coach at Michigan State like that. He's the one and only name that would be on my list. But that's if we lived in a fantasy world where I was the Joseph Stalin of the world and I controlled everything. And also had a dope mustache, but I digress. That's in fantasy land where I could control everything. We don't live there. So if it were all up to me, sure, of course, I would hire him. He's a bona fide winner. I don't think you could find a better candidate. But the reality of the situation is, I really think it comes down to the people in charge at Michigan State care too much about all the nonsense we've delineated, specifically this pretty thinly transparent purity test the Detroit media has concocted about Michigan State's next football hire. The people in charge at Michigan State, for some reason, still care what the Detroit media writes about it, which I don't know that I'll ever understand. And maybe I'm cavalier, maybe I'm an anti-hero, maybe I'm an outright villain, but my response would be, if I were in charge at Michigan State, if I were the president or whatever, I would say, guys, they're going to write bad stuff about us anyway. We might as well lean into it and embrace the villainy. Let's go bring Urban to East Lansing. We don't live in that timeline, though. These people are cowards. They are career politicians at some level. They are definitely opportunists. And again, there are schools who could do this. If Texas A&M opens up, if they fire Jimbo Fisher, I bet they call Urban Meyer. You know, a school like that would do it. I could see LSU doing it. And the reason is the people at those schools, because they're serious about football, would make no bones about making their one and only priority winning. They would say, we could care less what Urban Meyer did when Zach Smith was on his staff and was accused of domestic violence at Ohio State. We could care less what he does on the dance floor at his bar in Columbus. We could care less about how he did or didn't police his players off the field at Florida. We just don't care. We could care less about him allegedly kicking a kicker, while he was the coach at Jacksonville. We don't care because we know he can bring us a crystal football, and that's all that matters. There are schools that could do that. There are schools where that would be the unison game plan and lone directive at every level, from president to administration to AD to mega donor and everywhere in between. They would be all in complete harmony on that. Michigan State is not one of those places. This place is just paralyzed with dysfunction. And a lot of it, but not all of it, we got to be fair, but most of it comes from the boardroom. That's not an opinion. We can demonstrate that now, right now, as we speak right now, with this fact. There are members of this board currently investigating other members of the board for leaking Brenda Tracy's name to the media. These are cutthroat politicians first. Keep that in mind. They will not serve Michigan State or this football program's interest above their own. And if somehow a miracle happened where we were able to marshal all the resources necessary and get everyone in line to agree to hell with the optics and the PR concerns, to hell with the Detroit media, we're going to make Urban Meyer the next coach here. If they were able to somehow do that, I guarantee you, one of them, specifically on the board, some professional opportunist, would flip because they would see an opportunity to go up in the polls for a little bit, or maybe get a bump in their Q rating. Get a little 15-minute window in the Detroit media. Just not possible here. And I'm going to retain that position until, but really unless, proven otherwise. How about you? It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is The Game, 7:30 a.m.
Sure, you could listen to static.
Or you could get the free Game 730 AM mobile app in your app store today and listen longer
without the interruptions from the static.
Listen live to all your favorite moments in sports and hear all the action. The Game 730 AM app also has tons of great restaurant deals for you. It's waiting for you right now in the app store today. The Game 730 AM app is powered by Driven Collision. We make friends by accident.
When you're from America, that's your team.
Beanie Howell with Offensive Minded
on The Game, 7:30 a.m.
And we're back. Okay, look, I'm diving in head first. I'm leaning into the Urban Meyer talk, even though I don't think it's even remotely realistic. And that's because I don't think Michigan State's leaders have what it takes, the courage of their convictions to do that, to stand up to the wrath of the Detroit media. They're too worried about what headlines they'd get, which makes no sense to me because they're never getting good ones anyway. Why even pretend? But anyway, putting it to you, you can weigh in on that if you want. And specifically, like, does character matter? Does it really matter in this next hire? Does it? Should it? 517-342-63. Chip Paul's been waiting. What's up, dude?
No, it's pretty good, Beanie. How are you?
I'm all right. What you got for us?
Just listening to your opening monologue. You know, I kind of agree with the texter that said, I was a little bit confused with your opening monologue, but I think it lays out the countervailing forces here at play. I mean, Michigan State truly is a top 20, top 25 revenue football program. It gets a lot of fan passion. A lot of people watch Michigan State football. They get high ratings. But, I mean, it's obvious the foibles of the board trustees. And pretty much, I mean, with the D'Antonio hiring notwithstanding, the sheer incompetence of the hiring process of football coaches, we've talked about it in the past. Yeah. So it's hard to imagine Urban Meyer, you know, and given with, you know, all the competing programs, as you said, the historically powerful programs that are in proximity to Michigan State. You know, and Urban Meyer was a great coach at Ohio State. He accomplished a lot, and I don't want to denigrate his legacy there. But, you know, Ohio State, I don't think there's any argument that's probably one of the top five jobs in college football.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, resources.
Advantages.
And I believe it's even better than Michigan just because of the recruiting base in Ohio.
Yeah.
There's incredible, incredible passion for high school football in Ohio, probably second only to Texas, that the state of Michigan just does not match.
Agreed.
So I believe that even if Urban Meyer were to take the job, I think he'd quickly realize that he's up against it here. And it certainly would be a lot more difficult than the Ohio State job. And I think what you might see down the road is some health issues, quote unquote, that he might develop. And who knows how long he would actually stay. Of course, that's
right.
Conjecture.
He'll be 60 years old here pretty soon.
That's right. If you'll bear with me, Beanie, give me some latitude here. I want to ask you a question. Michigan State basketball, where would you put that in the standing of all college football programs? Would you put that like between 5 and 10 in the country historically.
The like the program all time. Program.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
It's not a blue blood. Michigan State basketball is not.
No, I don't think it is. But I think it's
I would
very
say
close.
It's nouveau riche is what I would call it. Does that make sense? So it's
would
like
you agree 5 to 10 though.
I'd be closer to 10. Probably between 10 and 15. But yes, we're saying the same thing. Not blue blood, but the next level.
But let me ask you this. Any of the programs that are clearly above Michigan State, do they have a top flight football program?
No, it's not really something you can sustain at the same time, is it?
They do not. I mean, even Florida had a couple of national championships in basketball like in the early aughts, and they could not sustain it.
Although Duke's pretty good now. Duke's pretty good.
Follow me here. What I'm getting to is I just don't know that when it gets right down to it, that Michigan State has the institutional will to hire a superstar like Urban Meyer for football when they already have one in basketball. I mean, they have a coaching icon now in Tom Izzo. I'm not sure that in the minds of many that there's room for two like that. But I would suggest if they are looking for great candidates, I would suggest looking to the very basketball programs that are ahead of Michigan State. I'd look at Duke. I'd look at Kansas. I'd look at the guys who are getting it done at those programs. And I know they're on the coaching list. I think they need to go hard after those guys.
And maybe they will. We don't know. I suspect that they'll at least make overtures at certainly Mike Elko at Duke. Lance Leipold, I'm sure will get some interest, but he might be too old. I think he's already over 60.
Is he really?
Okay. Yeah, but Elko's like 45, you know, and has Midwest experience. He was a defensive coordinator and recruiter at Purdue, at Notre Dame. So things like this. I don't know. I don't know about that. And I hadn't thought about what you said there. Is this town big enough for the two of them? I hadn't thought about that. I don't know. I don't think Izzo would care because he's a pretty honest and transparent guy, and he seems to think what's good for football here is good for him. And he's a football guy. I don't know. Do you really get the sense the people in charge like think that they can't have both? Because I don't have that sense.
I think it might be a subconscious thing. I mean, I think there's what you have are divided loyalties. So, I mean, the fan base, you have a lot of people who have season tickets to basketball. I mean, I don't know. It's not an all-consuming passion to have a winning football program that you mentioned at a Texas A&M and an LSU. They don't give a rat's ass about their basketball programs,
Right.
I mean, even University of Michigan, I mean, they've been great in football. Obviously, they're at the top of their form now. But the basketball programs had great success, but they just never have had the passion. Even when the famed Fab Five was there, they could rarely sell out Chrysler Arena. I mean, there's just not enough room, I think, on a campus for more than one program.
Here's the problem I have with that general take. The numbers all say otherwise because Michigan State is top 20 all time in every meaningful measure. Like whether it's, I mean, look, dude, last year was 5-7, a brutal season, and they still were top 20 attendance. They were top 17 in TV ratings through that god awful year. Right. They were top 12 in revenue with that god awful team last year. All the numbers in what you can't deny, like. First of all, I can't deny what you're saying, that basketball is more, what's the word, more innate to the Michigan State sports culture than football. It just is. Even though Tom Izzo himself will tell you this is a football school, because that long predated basketball success. But you also can't deny that Michigan State in football has a super passionate football base that's incredibly supportive of its program, and that's not new. That has been sustained over generations.
Well, you know, I hope I'm wrong, Bean. I would love to see the football and basketball program near the top of their respective sports. And another name I want to throw out is Mark Stoops, the head coach at Kentucky. He's another, I think, would he be another great candidate?
Problem is there, man. And obviously he's done really good at Kentucky, which it's a similar situation, right? Except Michigan State is so much better at football in terms of resources and investment and, frankly, care among the fan base than Kentucky is about football. But the problem there is he already makes like $9.5 million per year. And so to get him to move, he's earned it there. He's made football relevant, and they've outperformed basketball in the postseason there for basically the last 5 years. But it would take a lot of money to get him to move, and I think he's already on like closing in on 62. But no, there's no doubt he's done great. I'm surprised you didn't mention his brother, Bob Stoops, who gets a ton of play for some reason.
No. Well, you know, that would be kind of like bringing D'Antonio back, right? I mean, Bob is kind of the tires are really worn on him.
Yeah.
You know, at this point,
he's been out of the game for a while, and he seems pretty happy just part-timing it in the XFL or whatever it is now. So, yeah.
And I think what you said about Urban and coaching under a different environment in college football, I think that is truly relevant for any coach like a Stoops who's been out of the game for a while.
Yes.
So they have to get someone who is active, currently coaching. You know what? The bottom line is, Beanie, I'm glad I'm not the AD.
Well, one last thing before we wrap up here. Help me understand how you were confused, though. Like, what about my sermon was confusing? And I'm not asking to post you up because I want to clarify, because if you're confused, then other people may be.
Well, on the one hand, you were pointing out all the deficiencies, all of the apparent things holding Michigan State back from hiring an Urban Meyer. The sordid past with Nasser, the infighting in the administration. But then you turn around, you know, you say it is almost implying as if there's no way you could get an Urban Meyer.
Right.
But yet you're then saying, extolling the virtues of the program, you know, later on, or a top 25 revenue, top 20 revenue.
Yep.
And, you know, so.
I see what you mean. Let me clarify, and I can pare it down really, really nice. I can distill it to this. Obviously, Michigan State is a top 20 job, and it's probably higher than that in virtually every measurable way. So they should be able to get almost anyone they want, right? The problem is the leadership, the people who make the calls, the powers that be historically do not get along for whatever reason and historically cannot get their bleep together and all pull in the right direction. That's what's holding it back. Both things are true. It is a top 20 job all time. And it is going to be, at least right now, it's the most attractive opening. The only way that changes is if Texas A&M fires Jimbo Fisher or Nick Saban retires or Harbaugh finally convinces an NFL team to hire him. That's the only way it changes. But that also, you know, just because that's true doesn't mean it's not true that the people in charge there are just historically incompetent, unfortunately.
Yep. Well, I'll leave you with these final thoughts. You know, when in the peak of the D'Antonio regime, everyone was on the same page. So that's an absolute. I mean, Simon was there.
Yeah.
You had, who was the previous AD? He was there.
Hollis.
Doing a great job. Hollis, Simon, D'Antonio, the triumvirate. They did a wonderful job.
Yep.
And we need something like that again. I think that would probably be a prerequisite. For the football program to rise up again. And to respond to your comment about the media in the state, you're right. What they have to do is just say to hell with the blue wall. And they have to hire who they want to hire.
But that's the problem, Chip, is for some reason, and if you and I, people like you and I, can perceive that there is a very clear and present media narrative, like, and that the Detroit media has already decided what the story here is going to be before Michigan State has even started interviews, that there's no excuse for the people in charge at Michigan State not to know that. And yet, not only do they not seem to know it, but they actually still, for some reason, believe that they can get neutral and somehow maybe even favorable coverage out of this media. I just do not understand.
It ain't going to happen, Beanie. Well, I got to go. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, thanks, man.
I'll talk to you soon.
Good to hear from you. Yeah, you talk about things that literally keep me up at night. I just don't understand why the people in charge on campus there care what the local media has to say. Just blows my mind. I don't know, man. I don't know. I could understand giving a damn if there was an actual chance of that leading to favorable coverage in the media, or maybe just neutral, unbiased media coverage out of Detroit. But it's just not, it's not a thing. You're never going to get that. Might as well just shut off to that. Don't read it. Don't pay attention, because it doesn't matter. And again, you know, even not even paying attention to that, the whole thing, it's so silly. This is so silly. I see people, I see women who went to Michigan State and are big Michigan State supporters and alums and fans. And I've read a lot of them on Twitter the last 48 hours saying, like, this matters to them, that they should not entertain, let alone hire Urban Meyer at Michigan State, that they just simply can't. And it just, I don't see what one has to do with the other. But also, to be fair, I'm a man, and I don't understand anything about women. Whether it's, you know, women I'm romantically involved with, I certainly don't understand that whole part of it. But I also, to be serious, I understand nothing about the female experience in the current world, of course, and I don't pretend to. But, like, one, and I'm not trying to pin any specific person, but I saw one that said, like, they were shocked to see how many people were willing to overlook the harm that Urban Meyer would do just for the sake of the potential to gloat to coworkers or buy new bowl shirts or whatever. And they said it's okay to want a coach who's good at their job and a decent human being. And nothing could be further from the truth to me, because I feel like the winners in college football and high-level college sports and professional sports, the people who are winning are almost, to a man, complete scumbags. Tom Izzo is the exception. He's the last, like, good person involved in college basketball, it seems like. But you got to be a scumbag to win. And I don't care about the morality of my football coach. I don't give a damn. I don't care. I don't care what his religion is. I don't care what his values are. Unless we're talking about, oh, I don't know, his decision-making on 4th-and-1. I care about those values. I don't care about what he thinks about, like, the nuclear family or politics. I don't care. I just want him to be good at recruiting and good at developing players and good at managing a game in the moment. That's all. I don't care what your values are. I can't believe people are still hanging on to this crap. Isn't it evident to you? Like, now more than ever, none of that matters. It hasn't in a long time. But guys, I don't know if you've noticed, this is all about money. All of it. There ain't no values left. There's no morality in this thing. This thing is just a commercial industry. That's what it is. You think there's morality on Wall Street? I was just there. Let me tell you, there ain't. There's just a bunch of rats. And I don't mean the kind that clamber through the sewer either. I mean the kind that wear, like, several $1,000 suits and gamble with people's security and retirement. There are no morals or values left in any kind of business, especially this one. Why do we pretend? I don't know. I just want to win. That's all. Does that make me so bad? I'm just willing to admit it, I guess. I don't care. I don't care. I just want the next coach to be good at recruiting, good at developing players, and good at coaching in the game. And I want him to be compliant with all the rules and laws necessary. That's it. If he's a scumbag and not a nice guy to be around, I could care less. I want to win more than have a beer with him. It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is The Game, 7:30 a.m. Berg.
The Michigan State Spartan football team is back for another season on the Lansing Sports Network. The Big Talker 1240 WJIM and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ. Never miss another touchdown or tackle again. Stream the game in the free Lansing Sports Network app, powered by Whitelaw PLLC, MSU Healthcare, Chupan and Sons, Gravity Smokehouse, Doubting Industries, and Chandler's Top Shelf.
Back to the best in sports talk now. now.
On the only station serving Lansing with the best sports talk for 30 years. The Game, 7:30 a.m.
All right, back to wrap it up with you today. And I wanted to take a few minutes to go over this. Michigan State Basketball Media Day was today. I don't have any sound prepared for you because I knew we were going to do heavy on football. And I don't know that any real news was broken today. We can spend more time on it tomorrow if you'd like. But I think the actual news here is that the full schedule is out. And there are five games that will only be available via Peacock if you're a Michigan State fan this year. So let me go through those. You know, we did this with football, too. I know. Look, it sucks, but it's where we are. So just trying to get out in front of this for you. In order, the five Peacock-exclusive games for MSU Hoops this year. December 5th, at home versus Wisconsin. January 4th, at home versus Penn State. January 30th, at home versus Michigan. February 6th on the road at Minnesota. And February 20th at home versus Iowa. Those are five games that will be exclusive to Peacock this season. You got a little while till that starts, but there you go. All right. So do with that what you will. I also did see they made some news about the Champions Classic. Let me get that for you, too. Michigan State is playing Duke to start the season in the Champions Classic this year. Let's see. Game time is 7 p.m. on ESPN on November 14th. That is this year's Champions Classic. Michigan State will have the early game. MSU versus Duke. November 14th, 7 p.m. That means Kansas and Kentucky have the late game. I prefer having the early game. And maybe we can win this one. That'd be nice. We'll see. Also, heads up that Midnight Madness is 1 week from Friday. Oh, I just realized something. Is that good or bad? I don't know. You tell me. But Midnight Madness this year falls on Friday the 13th. Yeah, that's a week from Friday already. Midnight Madness coming up at the Breslin. Okay, that'll about do it for us today. I appreciate your guys' patience as I got the clocks back right. And look, it was necessary for me to go on that meltdown of a rant there to in the first hour, but the whole Urban Meyer thing, it's just, I don't understand what's going on, but hey, it's not the first time. Actually, I lied. Got one more message here. Tommy in Bath says, the public perception of MSU in 49 out of 50 states is that this is a top 20 job in school. In Michigan, the narrative is that it's still a cow college. Hiring Urban Meyer would instantly change that. I'll tell you what, Tommy. That's a good way to end the show today because I think you were 100% correct in everything you just said. It's weird. It's weird the coverage Michigan State gets once you increase the elevation out of Detroit. It's bizarre. Is it like that anywhere else? I'm honestly asking. Like, are the papers in, like, Tuscaloosa and Birmingham just constantly ripping Auburn to shreds? Or in Atlanta, are they constantly just beating the hell out of Georgia Tech? I don't know. I'm asking. Anyone out there knows, let me know. I would greatly appreciate that information. Anyway, cool. Thanks for being here, guys. I appreciate it. And again, I appreciate your accommodation with the weird timing we had to do to make up for how the first hour played out. All right. So tomorrow I needed to get into, we'll do more basketball. I do have some sound of Izzo I want to play that I think is interesting. Maybe more. We'll see. Let's also talk Tigers. We can do a Tigers post-mortem. We'll see who won our season-long Tigers wins prediction contest. I'll get that news out tomorrow. And I want to talk about some news. The new GM they hired from the Blackhawks, what he had to say about Javi Baez and his future in Detroit. And then let's talk more about the future for the Tigers. It's offensive-minded. I appreciate you being here for us. So everyone here on Offensive Minded in the Game, 7:30 a.m., I'm Beanie. Until tomorrow at 4, be safe and be good.